country. Both sides of the aisle. I can tell you that I'm thankful that this campaign season is over because the commercials were wearing me out. But it's interesting as you watch those commercials and as you listen to the politicians talk, and they talk about unity and reaching across the aisle, that's the last thing that you hear when they do talk. And oftentimes I'm asked as a preacher, what is our responsibility to the government? Where in line do we fall in relation to political parties, political agendas, and many of those different things? First, let me start off the sermon by saying this is not a political sermon. This is not to point to which side is right. Because in relation to us being Christians, there's only one way that's right, and that's God. I don't vote party lines, and I'm not here to point anybody towards any political party. But I think we have a responsibility to the government in relation to what Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight in relation to what is our responsibility as pilgrims, because we are exactly that concerning our inheritance. We are but straying pilgrims, as we talked about or read or sang just a few moments ago. And because we are straying pilgrims, we understand that something much better awaits us in our eternity, and that's what we look forward to. But at the same time, we have to live here while we await our inheritance. While we wait for that glorious day, we do have to live upon the face of this earth, and we do have to abide by the ordinances of man, 1 Peter chapter 2. Paul talked about this also in Romans chapter 13 in writing to the church at Rome and explaining to them what their responsibility was to civil government. But when our true citizenship is in heaven, do we have any responsibility to the countries on this earth? And I say countries in relation to how Peter is writing this, because Peter's not writing from the United States of America. He's writing during a persecuted time, because as he's later going to go on to say in chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter, of the book of 1 Peter, he goes on to say that we are going to face persecution because we are Christians. And so when you go back to 1 Peter chapter 2, you can see as he begins to unfold what our responsibility is towards the ordinances of man and towards government, that we do have a responsibility, but God is paving the way for us concerning our eternity, because what Peter is saying to a persecuted church is, you are going to be the example to those around you in how you respond to being treated. It's not necessarily about politics or politicians, Peter says. It's about how you respond to being treated by politicians and politics and ordinances of man as God's children. Of course, we are all concerned with how our families are treated and how we feed our families and how we pay taxes, and all of those things come into play for us, because when it comes right down to everything, we do have to abide by the laws of this land. And even when we disagree with those laws, because there are many that I disagree with, but at the same time, those laws are put in place because the government thinks they are good for us, but yet we still abide by those laws. But there's also a dividing line in relation to us being Christians and how they affect us in obeying God's commandments, and Peter will talk about that in verse 17. So there's a responsibility for us as Christians to be examples to the world, and there's also a responsibility for us as Christians to be obedient to God's Word, and hopefully the laws never negate our responsibility towards God or stop us from worshiping God how He wants us to worship Him. As a preacher, that's always my greatest fear, of one day being told what I can and can't preach from the pulpit. And there are countries that go by that very thing, that have to worry about that and have to worry about people coming in and pulling them out from behind the pulpit because of what they're preaching concerning the gospel of Christ. But luckily, because of the country in which we live, and it is a great country, and because, as we mentioned this morning, the veterans that support that and stood on foreign shores to continue to provide us with that freedom that we enjoy allows us to continue to preach God's Word. That also doesn't mean that we're not persecuted in the process. The pilgrim's responsibility in one word in verses 13 through 14 is to submit. But let me explain what I mean and what Peter is talking about here by submit. Peter says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. The word submit means to be in subjection to. Now, when we think about that in relation to the government, it simply means to place oneself in subjection to or under the form of government that's in place at that particular time. So what Peter says here is to submit or place yourself in subjection to render oneself to be subordinate to that particular ordinance or that particular government. And so we're putting ourselves, Peter says, in subjection to the government that's in place at that particular time, wherever you might be in relation to the world. So again, this was under Roman rule that Peter's talking about here. And this was under Roman tyranny, but it's also during a time in which Nero was in place, considering the totalitarian issue of that dictatorship that Peter was talking about, of which the Christians were being persecuted for. So he said, you have to put yourself in subjection, even though Nero is a dictator, and even though he's not treating Christians the way they should be treated, you still have to put yourself in subjection to that government. Now we think, why in the world would you want to do that? Because God said so. And as hard as that is to fathom when you think about it, you're putting yourself in subjection to tyranny in relation to Nero, who was persecuting Christians at every opportunity that he had. Not only persecuting them, but many times killing them because of what they represented. And here Peter is saying to a persecuted people to put yourself in subjection to that type of tyranny. So in this case, we're told to submit to every ordinance of man. Now the word ordinance literally means a creation. Peter's not talking about laws. What he's talking about here is the Greek and the Romans were accustomed to describing opponent of officers as the creation of them. So therefore, the expression of ordinance actually refers not to a particular law that's passed, but to a government that's put in place. So whether you're living in Canada or the United States or living under the rule in England or living under some particular type of democracy in another part of the world, what Peter says is you place yourself concerning the ordinances or the creation of that government. As a child of God, you put yourself under that ordinance. So you're submitting yourself to the authority of that rule. I think that New American Standard Version says to every human institution. I'll think that's almost a better translation when you think about it. To every human institution, place yourself under every ordinance or human institution that's created by man concerning the rule of government to put yourself into that position. That's the commandment, to submit to that type of authority. So the responsibility of Christians and pilgrims is still the same, to submit. And Paul taught the same principle in Romans 13 and verse 1 that we are to be able or to be subject to the governing authorities, or the King James Version, I think, says the higher powers. Same ordinances, same creation of government, to put ourselves under the subjection, to be under the authority of those particular governments. Now, we must be subject and show such submission by paying taxes and customs and showing respect to our officials. In relation to that, understand this. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do, I understand. Sometimes it's hard to have respect for people who show no respect for those that they're serving. And I understand that. But I'm going to bring it back to that point here in just a minute concerning subjection in relation to being a child of God that Peter's talking about here. So what reasons do Peter and Paul give that might motivate us to submit to our governments as we should? So look at verses 15 and 17 as to the reasons why we should submit. Peter writes, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Amen to that. "As free yet not, using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God," and that last part again, concerning subjection to governments, honor the king. First and foremost, he says in 1 Peter 2:15, the beginning part of that is, this is the will of God. We talked about Habakkuk a few weeks ago in relation to how Habakkuk struggled with the decision that God was making to using the Chaldeans to punish his people. And as a prophet, Habakkuk was simply trying to understand why God was using such a horrible people to punish his own people that he had brought into his covenant. And so with that, concerning the will of God and how God uses powers, he puts up kingdoms and he brings them down. And sometimes we don't always understand the way God does things for us and how he sets things up in relation to sometimes what we ask for. I think it's interesting as you go back and you look through the nation of Israel and you look at their history, God was their supreme king at the beginning, right? God was the one who was bringing them out of captivity, putting them into the promised land, giving them all the blessings that they needed. But that wasn't enough for them. What do they keep crying over and over? Give us the king like everybody else around us. Give us somebody to rule us like the nations that are around us all the time. We want to be like those nations. Give us a king. So he said, okay, I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. And so they got a king. And some kings were good and some kings were bad. Some kings had the best interest of the people, but some kings had the best interest for themselves. And because of that, when they got into bad situations, they looked to God and said, Why is all this befalling us? Why is all these bad things happening? God said, you asked for it. Because I wasn't enough for you. You asked for it. In relation to political climate today, I'm not saying that's the case. But it's easy for us as Christians to get caught up and forget what the ultimate goal is for us. I understand life isn't fair. I understand sometimes we're mistreated in relation to just being civilians, I guess is the term we want to use, in the world in which we live today. And not agreeing with everything that happens around us and things not being fair and one side wanting this and one side wanting that, whatever those things might be. But the first and foremost reason why we have to submit is that Peter says this is the will of God. With whatever institution, you have to understand this is not just the United States of America. This is Christians that are living all over the world considering whatever rule they're living under. So think about individuals that don't have the same freedoms that we have in this great country that we live in, that are suffering persecution, that are having to submit to their governments and being treated unfairly and sometimes even beaten for their religion. And Peter says, you have to also submit to the governments. And we think, that's not fair. But they ought to suffer, or rather when they're suffering for the Lord's sake, that is, this ought to suffice for true servants of God. But Peter does explain why this is the will of God. That they may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, 1 Peter 2:15. So Peter says, because of their allegiance to the heavenly king, as Christians are often falsely accused during that time of sedition and treason. So again, understanding the background of why Peter is writing this. Nero, during that time, thought many Christians were going to rise up against him and take over his rule. So sometimes he would falsely accuse them of sedition and treason when he had no evidence whatsoever to support that fact and say, just because they're Christians, they all think the same way. Same thing happens today sometimes. There's that blanket statement that all Christians are the same, quote unquote. But Peter says, because of their allegiance to the heavenly king, Christians are often accused of this. When you go back to Acts chapter 17, around verse 5, when you think of how they were going to bring about this mob and take Jason out and drag him out of the house, all because they were Christians, they said, we've got to do something about this, falsely being accused of causing a riot. But by doing good and submitting to the governing authorities, Peter says, we can silence or muzzle the ignorance of these men. Because we're not going to give them any ammunition or any evidence that that's the type of people that we are. So Peter said, you're going to muzzle the ignorance of these foolish people of thinking this way because that's not who we are. So Paul gives another good reason. Governing authorities that exist have been appointed by God, Romans 13 and verse 1. Now that's where we all scratch our head, right? certainly when we think about the climate today and the political climate that we live in, we scratch our head because of both sides. But this truth is emphasized in the book of Daniel and Daniel chapter 2. Look at Daniel chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells in Him." So even when you look in this particular case, even here Daniel says that God is in control, and that truth is emphasized because Daniel's saying you have God who's raising up kings and putting kings down. And so what we often forget sometimes because we get caught up in society today and culture is that we forget that God is the one that's in control of everything. And God is in control of everything that's going on now. But even those that are evil, which God uses for His divine purpose, and even in replaces when you think about Egypt and Exodus chapter 9 and Assyria and Isaiah chapter 10, God used these evil governments to punish His own people, to put them into captivity, and God is the one that brought about those institutions and those kingdoms. And so sometimes we don't always understand why God does things the way He does things, but this being the case, to resist the government means that we resist God Himself, as much as we might disagree with it. But I say all of that to say this: there is an exception to the rule. It's not whenever the government is oppressive. If you consider the government and conditions under which Peter and Paul wrote, these governments were dictatorships. They were dictator rules. And they persecuted anyone and anybody that went against their rule. So under his reign, Christians suffered greatly. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 4, you jump down to about verse 12. Peter says, "Beloved, do not think it a strange thing concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for Christ, or if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and God's rest upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but on your part He is glorified." So under this reign, or this particular rule, he says eventually even Peter himself was crucified and Paul was beheaded because of what they believed and what they practiced. And under such oppressive governments, our responsibility remains the same, and it's clear that we submit to the government, but the exception to the rule is this, brethren: we obey God rather than man. Period. And sometimes there are laws of which I disagree with concerning how I preach and how I practice Christianity that man wants to completely wipe out. And when that day comes, I continue to preach the same gospel. Because I'm afraid there's going to come a day when preaching the gospel is considered hate speech. But that's farthest from the truth of what the gospel is, because it's filled with love and concern for souls that God wants to be saved. Only when the government tries to force us to disobey God, then we disobey the government. Period. And as much as we disagree with some of the laws of the land sometime, God said, you continue to submit. You continue to be the example that they need to see, putting away the foolish ideas of man, because in the end, everything comes out in the wash, right? For us as Christians, because we understand what our inheritance is. Rather, we are charged to pray for those in authority and submit to them in all other areas. Our responsibility as pilgrims under whatever government we may find ourselves as sojourners on this earth, and as difficult as it is sometimes in the world in which we live, is even though we have liberty and freedom in Christ, we should choose that freedom in serving the Lord. And that means we continue to be examples. And we continue to shine the light of Jesus. And as we do so, we also honor and we show respect for those in authority. It's interesting because even Jesus at points concerning authority, disagreed with Roman rule and the way they treated his people. When they asked him concerning paying taxes, he said, do what you're supposed to do. Render unto Caesar those that are his. So Jesus is teaching his disciples that though we disagree with what they're doing, we still have a responsibility because we're bigger and we're better than they are. And we have a responsibility to them to show them who Christ is, and Christ does things completely different than the world does things. And sometimes we expect the world to bend to Christianity because we think they should understand that. But brethren, the world is the world and the devil's in it. And we get confused because the opposite should be the case, because we as Christians should be teaching the world how they are to act, not us looking to the world to act correctly. And when we do that, putting all party lines aside and acting as Christians ought to act, that's the example that God is wanting us to share with the world. You can beat me down for what I believe and who I worship and who I serve. You can cast me aside, Paul said, and throw me in prison, but I'm going to keep preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, beat me, shipwreck me, throw me in jail. Either way, Paul said, I'm betwixt, I'm confused, because if I stay here, I get to keep on preaching. If I die and go there, I get to be with my Lord forever. So with that, though we have a responsibility, and though sometimes it's difficult, because sometimes I want to pound my head against the wall because of the political environment that we live in today, frustrates me to no end, just as it does everybody else. But as confused and frustrated and as angry as I get sometimes at the way the world is, I have to remember who I am as a child of God, because I have a responsibility to make sure the world sees me as a child of God. The world has to see Christ through me. And when the world sees Christ through me, when I have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2:5, then I begin to make a change and a difference. You know, it's interesting, as you look back through political history, and I remember studying politics and economics and all of that stuff in college, doesn't seem like it's really changed much, does it? Other than the date, the year, and who's in office, the same problems are still there as they were 30 or 40 or 50 years ago. The same issues we're still facing back in the 60s and 70s, we're still facing today, unfortunately. And those Christians were able to come through those times just as we will be able to come through these. But when we put our trust in the divine power and not the political, it's easier to understand what our responsibility is while we live in this world. Again, throwing all politics aside, let me ask you this question tonight. Who do you serve? Who do you serve? We serve a loving God who gave His Son for all of us, Romans 5:8. And because He gave His Son for us, that's the power that we trust in. That's the power that we believe in. And when we put our trust in that, knowing that everything's going to be okay because God said so, just read the last chapter of Revelation 22, Revelation 22, God says we win. I'm pretty good with that. We win. We don't have to worry about any of those things. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. Any of that stuff is going to be in heaven, because God says everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Sometimes I think we need to believe that more. Doesn't matter what any man in D.C. or any politician says, I'm going to make it better. No, you're not. God's going to make it better. God has already made it better through an old wooden cross some 2,000 years ago that gave us the freedom of salvation, that freed us from all the debt and all the past sin and all of the heartache, all of that. God said, I gave you Jesus so that you wouldn't have to experience any of that. And that's what we put our trust in. I'm not saying that we don't have a civil responsibility, if you choose to do that, to make things better, to try and change policy as God's children, because we have an influence. We should have an influence. But ultimately, God reigns supreme, and that's who we should trust in. So who do you serve tonight? Who do you trust? I hope it's God, and I hope that's where you put your trust in, knowing that He's the one that's going to deliver you from this world in eternity. And if that's the God that you want to serve, if that's who you want to follow after, and you've never been obedient to His gospel, to His plan that's going to set you free from your past, liberates you from all of those things that are weighing you down and puts you in Christ to add you to His church, you have the opportunity tonight to repent of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, making that confession, saying, I know that Jesus died for me, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then allowing God to add you to His church through baptism to have all of your sins washed away. And tonight, if you're here, if you're struggling, if you need prayers, if you need forgiveness, whatever the case is, we want to encourage you to do that tonight because this is your family. We want you to be strong in the Lord. We want you to understand that if you're struggling with anything, that we're here to lift you up and to encourage you in any way that we can. So if you have any need, if we can help you in any way, please let us know as together we stand and as we sing.